Grace and peace from our God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll continue our services and we will quieten at this portion of the Word of God, which I'll read from the Acts of the Apostles, the 15th chapter. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, to command them to keep the law of Moses. And then and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And after that disputing, Peter rose up. And they told and being brought on their way to church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And then when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up a sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God, are all his works from the beginning of the word. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Amen. It was a long story. Brothers and sisters, I have to confess, when I have been able to travel there on the service area, and now when I come here, I am fighting with my emotions. I do not know how do you feel, but for me, I feel the one most matters that spoke most to me of the meaning of faith is to look at this service throng, to look at families, to look at all aged people, to look at this whole organization and to think how great amount of work, volunteer and ownership has been needed so that all this that we now have been able to experience and to hear and to see, that it is possible, to make it possible. And all is, of course, done just for one reason. Actually, the former brother before me already told of it, but I could say in this way, that for this reason, so that the gospel can be heard. Why, soul? Here in services, we have remembered many times this celebratory year, and also comes to my mind from these theses that Luther once wrote, one certain. He said in this way, that the true treasure of the church is the grace and honor of God, the pure gospel, the purest gospel. And when Lutheranism was slowly formed from that, and we publicly say these bases upon which all other else is built, there is brought forth this, that the nation of God is there, where the gospel is proclaimed clearly. And if now, if you were listening closely and you listen to this long story from the apostles, there was also a question of this same matter. And so it always is. From the beginning pages of the Bible, wherever children of God are, wherever of Christian life has been told and of spoken, there also, always, this matter is raised in its midst. And then it also happens so that the enemy, which is the master of 1,000 plots, it also centers on this theme, of course, because it is everybody's apple of everyone's eye. Luther says in this powerfully that in all other questions of doctrine, we priests and speakers and individual Christians, we can, our weakness and misunderstanding and our other faults might make faults as many as happen for many. Think of matters in the wrong way, or at least from the side, and sometimes in the wrong way. But in this question of righteousness, and upon coming righteous, it cannot be so. You cannot make a mistake. Because if it happens in this way, that in that matter there is something wrong, and this fault will always mean the same thing. It is as if that treasure and the central is missing, and in that place becomes a law. And even though the law is the word of God, then in these questions of becoming righteous, it only has a certain place, and only that. And if God allows, we will a little bit look at this text. Here it is said that from the congregation of Antioch, which had been born there in the nowadays known as Turkey, in that city of Antioch, after the persecution of Stephanus, Jews had moved there. And now when one Jew, Pharisee, or former Pharisee, Paul, preaches that Christ, which he once persecuted, he preaches it in the Jews' synagogues. And of course, there are those kind of people who wonder that, wait a second, how can this be? Earlier, we have been taught of this matter a little bit differently. And now a former Pharisee comes and says that Christ which I was persecuting, he actually is the Redeemer of the world and the atonement of sins. Here, brothers have already told in services of the historical matters of these Pharisees. But I will not talk about these, but what is it in this matter that is caught up? That except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Or Then when we go to the meeting of in Jerusalem, then a certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed said that those Gentiles that made repentance should be circumcised and should be commanded to keep the law of Moses. There are many professionals in the information technology or computer science. I am not one of them. I barely know how to use a computer in my workplace. But a few times it has happened this way, that when a certain program is locks up or doesn't work as it should work, I've gotten a direction that go into the settings and go make a check mark there, take a check mark away, and things will be easier. And many times it has been so. Now we should at least go into the settings of our believing Christian life. We should ask that, what is that difference which is really actually here being caught up? This sect of the Pharisees was in many ways remarkable, because there are many different people there that were part of it, of course, but they thought in this way, that a person is before the face of God in a free place. A person decides, will they follow the will of God? Will they be obedient to it? Will they love God? Will they follow the law? And so, from this joining together of all these matters, do people believe? Pharisees thought in this way. And the law came here in the first place to direct and to teach, and as if in a moral sense, important. Well, what is wrong here? When Apostle Paul repeats the grace of repentance, and then after this he writes letters, he goes through in them much about the difference between the law and the gospel. In the letter to the Galatians, which is written to the same area where Antioch is, he says that these men who are demanding for circumcision are false brethren. In the Bible it is said that they are Pharisees who believed, so they had come to faith. But Paul says that they are false brethren. Did Paul see into their hearts? Oh, of course not, he did not. But Paul is rejecting their way of thinking, which comes forth here in this requirement to be circumcised. These Pharisees thought supposedly in this way there's some kind of we are not sure, there's speculation, but they supposedly thought in this way that Jesus was the Messiah who suffered and died, and they're waiting for his second coming. They confessed that Jesus had risen, but they thought in this way that when in the writings it is said that which is hung on the cross, they are under curse. They thought that now that then those Romans which were, and Sadducees which were, took responsible for the killing of Jesus, Romans they related to as if such people that were somehow free of the law because they did not know it or did not understand it, almost as if without, and also Sadducees which were a competing religious sect, and they thought that Jesus was in some ways a martyr. He was doing as a righteous should do, but nothing else. There's born this kind of thing, as we say in the language of today, a ethical thinking of the kingdom of God, or a moral thinking of the kingdom of God. We'd say that was such a big matter that we should speak of it, but did you know that it is a very general way to think and to speak of the Christian faith in this time. There is many times referenced to this thought, which is in the book of Galatians said in this way, all the commandments of the law, when you follow this one, love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul writes. What does Paul mean? Could it be so that some person can follow this commandment? Is it in their own ability and power that they can squeeze from themselves such love for their neighbor that would be seen humanly as goodness and a service mind and helping and what else, all else we know how to do? Do you know of such people? There are many. And in a society, sense of society, it is good righteousness. Everybody can do in this way as much as you are able. But there is one problem. The word of the Bible that speaks here of love does not mean the love of one's neighbor. When the apostle says that in the love is fulfilled all, it is used such a Greek word as agape. It means love which is only with God. It doesn't perfectly, it is with no one else. Human love is attached to precious and beautiful and high-minded and great reputation and other much, much else. But this love, agape, in its meaning, it's such that God looks graciously, mercifully, and from his being rises goodness and mercy, not evil, towards evil, poor, and sinful people. This is the deepest sense of this God's love. When the apostle says that if we love with this love, we fulfill the whole law, it is not the love, this trying for this neighborly love. Rather, it is in the heart a man, person becomes righteous. The end result of this love is that a person becomes righteous. And now the Pharisees thought in this way, that a person can do according to the law, that they can live well and squeeze from themselves this kind of a religion, which they will then receive a reward for. Well, Paul, in his life, meets this matter in another sense, as also our reformer, cleanser of our faith, did. As if we examine it with the help of Luther, it comes a little bit sharper forward. You remember how that strike of lightning, that student boy who had experienced it, was awakened in his conscience, and he begins to study with the grace giving of God, with his own place before the before the face of God, and he comes to that result that even though he'd go as a man who goes to the monastery, even though he gives up all and lives a simple life, dresses poorly, eats poorly, confesses in the best days for many hours in a day, and tries to be as the law demands, righteous before God, and the whole time feels that with a whip he whips his back, and well, maybe this outward life begins to be in that course, but how about the heart? Does it freely and openly start come to this mind? Is it of this mind? And Luther had to admit that it is not. Such righteousness which the law requires, I cannot get out of myself. Completely the same as it was for Paul when Paul speaks of the law. This is the second use of the law. The first is that which Parliament makes, and second is this, that God stops a person with the assistance of his law at that truth, that inherited sin, that which happened in the fall into sin and touched us all and all mankind. It means this, that in my heart and in your heart is no longer that ability to love God. That ability to surrender to that which the commandments require, that ability to turn to God, the ability to believe in oneself, that ability to live a Christian life with our own strength, it is away from us. Inherited sin means this. And now the duty of the law, the second use of the law, is to reveal unto a person this matter. To the Pharisees, this matter had not been made evident. Rather, they thought in this way, that they can join into this movement of Jesus in because of good matters, as if in a community, sense of society, we could think. But the true basis of their hearts, they did not understand. And for this reason, this kind of a problem comes forth. This is the reason why they say that when once has been given the commandment of circumcision, which is given forever, that we cannot, this will not, nothing will happen of this, that if Gentiles are able to receive the grace of faith first, they must become Jews, they must be circumcised, and then they must be following the law of Moses, which the Pharisees believe that you can follow it, because it is in the person's own decision-making or choice. When Paul himself says that if you allow yourself to be circumcised, then you should follow the whole law. Paul talks of this as a different matter. He talks of this as what I mean, the second use of the law. He means this, that not only just by doing open works and not things doing and not left done, but also with your heart. That is what the law, true following of the law means. Surely, also of the Old Testament, is spoken of the circumcision of the heart. This is true. It was with there. But sometime along the way it had been left out. When a person is not able to do this, we are at a dead end. Dear hearers of the word, here at this service area, and to wherever this sermon is being heard, this is a timely question even today. Is the Christian sermon this? That it calls all those people who wish to do good, to save this world, and to make more neighborly love in the world. And the question of community and society, it is good that we do this, and we should do as much as we can. But with the question of righteous being made righteous, it is not. If the gospel is understood in this way, it is understood incorrectly. Then has been happened a great misfortune or accident. There is no other revelation besides that Christ and that word which reveals and shows him there, nothing found their wisdom for such questions. They are questions of the law or of this world regime which we've been given a moral understanding and logic. And we have been asked to do as good as we can in these matters. But this special revelation, but the answer pertains to this, that the gospel gives, is in question when the law has stopped a person. For this reason, it is a matter of death that we hold on to this, as has been many times preached and spoken here of God's word. Pertaining to this word is also this portion, that it reveals sin. And it isn't always nice, as you know and as I have experienced. It doesn't always mean that we should make this matter somehow as difficult as we can to one another. No, but rather it comes from this, that it reveals my own heart and my own wretchedness. Of this question, these kinds of questions were there when we were there demanding of circumcision. Apostle Paul and Barnabas could not accept this. The matter is that was not such that if we could not correctly understood continue. If circumcision was taken as a symbol of belonging to the nation of Jews, then go ahead. But if it would be taken, as it is said here, that you will not be saved unless you are circumcised. It is the wrong use. Then the Christian's ear says, this cannot be taught so. Now matters are in the wrong order. Now is lost the grace of God, and is lost that gift which belongs to the gospel. This matter they thought there in that meeting in Jerusalem. Peter first speaks. And you remember how Peter himself personally had to learn of this. He is able to experience a heavenly vision where before him is lowered down on a sheet different animals, such that the Jewish law is defined as being unclean, and he is told to be butcher and to eat, and Peter says he cannot, and he is taught that do not call unclean that which God has cleansed. And the righteous Jew could not go to a non-Jewish home for eating or even to really go. It would make them unclean. After a moment, Peter is there in the house of Cornelius. They're in a house of a Gentile, based on the duty that he was given, proclaiming the gospel. And to him is opened a new world. It is the time of God to tell and to teach to all, and to say the evil and good, the boundary of unclean and clean doesn't go as the Pharisees say. I know that even to this matter of faith is related easily, such a thought to that. In the work of a priest, I many times ran into this. People think that my duty is somehow to teach in this way. There are people who are somehow have been successful in their lives, fulfilled the laws, been without breaking these worst laws in life, and because of this, they are acceptable in their lives. And there's this group of sinners who have broken the commandments and done wrong and been unsuccessful, and they, for them, is awaiting condemnation. It doesn't happen in this way. We are all people under the same law. We are all people before God, sinful. We are corrupted by inherited sin. It makes us, and which of us, none of us would inherit everlasting life unless God would not be merciful, unless he would not forgive. All this work of Christianity is to relate to this matter. It is not this kind of a golden pig club where those who are successful are being rewarded and they are given everything. No, this is a hospital where all people are suffering of a certain disease. And in this hospital, there is such a high doctor, and for this sickness is found a medicine. So the gospel works, and so does the nation of God work. I must admit that in my work as a priest, I have many times been marveling about this matter. I remember one happening when I was called in my duty at work to the bedside of such a person who was seriously ill, and was said that the near ones were worried that should they enjoy communion there, and I went there because I was asked, and I asked if their own could leave us, just the two of us, and we went to a long discussion there. Before me was a person who had lived in the worldly sense a very good life, and done much work, taking care of his family in a good way, taking care of his family matters as a good citizen should. Then I told him that how I thought myself before the face of God. And I told, especially this matter, that I definitely have a wish to live as a good citizen should, but I must sorrowfully say that I have such a problem that I have sin. And when I told him what it meant for me, in what way sin is seen in me, corrupt and against the mind of God, and slow and lazy and unbelieving and so on, unless God would change my mind and give gifts and to do others, unless He would not give all His gift. He listened with His eyes around it. Is this so? I said, this is how it is. And the discussion ended in this, that. He said very simply that I also would like to believe in this way. And I blessed him. And we enjoyed the Holy Communion of our Lord as the Catechism teaches to strengthen our faith. We rejoiced of this gift. After a few weeks, this person died away into the rest of the righteous. It was unbelievable to think that that which Apostle Paul teaches, that how he pictures the work of God, how the doctrine and teaching of the Lutheran Church, it is true. There is nothing taken away from it. The church life never moves to such that this order would be some other. Always it is so. That God works in this way. Peter says here, He cleanses with faith our hearts. Just think, dear brothers and sisters. I think today, above all, such people who I know, there are always such who are battling with such that something has happened in life that is truly evil. Something that is really breaks and breaks relationships and relationships with the community. A poor it even means you. It means all. It means all of us. God's grace is so great and miraculous that God cleanses with faith the heart. And when God cleanses, He lowers His gift there. There comes Christ Himself, His righteousness and His holiness. There is this sale of righteousness, trade of righteousness happens. We give up our sin onto His shoulders, and God in His goodness gives us as a gift the righteousness of Christ and His holiness, which is so holy that there is no other holier than in heaven. And so in the meeting in Jerusalem continues, that then spoke the brother James, who borrows from the Old Testament not just his experiences and that how the Holy Spirit there has happened around that also convinced listeners, but he borrows from the Old Testament. He refers to the writings and he says that they are fulfilled now. Now is the time of God. They are now being fulfilled. And so, because of this, we can trust in this, what these men tell us. We can keep a hold onto this, that God does His work. And minds rested on this. We are satisfied with this. This was what was held on to. Later says that this was acceptable to the Holy Spirit and to us. It means that God's trusting in the Word of God, we could truly understand that the Holy Spirit was working. And then we were giving direction. We were told that we had to bring a letter. We should keep away, abstain from pollutions of idols and from blood and from... This list kind of a little bit makes marvel, but I do not have ability since time's ending to go along the roots to explain this, but some other can do this, but here it happens this way. But that circumcision was not really talked about here. It was left as it was originally left, as Apostle Paul says, that It is as if as it doesn't matter, are you circumcised or not, as long as it's not taught as a thing that is needed for becoming righteous or becoming saved. And then there's talked of this meat that is sacrificed unto idols and meat from which blood has not been lowered, which both are belong, as is said, into the rules of the forefathers. And such rules, as I understand, was needed in that time so that that joint worship of God with the Jews and with Christians, and such Christians that came, as so said, from the Gentiles and the life of congregation, so it would not cause impossible conflicts. We said in this way so that peace would be preserved. But as we know today, we are not hold of these today, and it is not needed. They are traditions of our forefathers. But the question of fornication is a question that is of according to the Mosaic law that is given of God, and the law of Moses, which never changes. It is always in power. But it is then, it is now. From that, we have a clear commandment of God, which pertains to all, and no modernizations will change this commandment. This is in power and remains. So, dear friends, we come to the end when we ask that, well, what do we, should we today think? I think in this way that we are comforted. We can be greatly comforted. Here is heard and has been heard the gospel, which with the power of God can give birth to faith, can strengthen old covenants, give hope. When we believe, it means this, that in our hearts there is such a trust that we can with our whole weight throw ourselves on that trust, that God will take care of his promises, the righteous will inherit everlasting life. It is that righteousness of Christ. It is through faith in us. Just think what a promise it is. There in the service area, those who I can see, and wherever you are, listen carefully. What does that gospel say? It proclaims sins forgiven. It says to the listener that we know, I know, of my own experience, and every believers know that we are sinful and corrupt people. But we are comfort one another with this, that God has given us Christ, and in him grace. He is merciful unto us and forgives us. And the gospel gives this promise to you and to all the area wherever you are hearing this. Your heart can be uplifted to so believe. Feel how it may feel, see how it may seem. Forgiveness, the great promise, as it is a tradition of saying, it is preached along to the walls and also to you. And we believe in this, that God can do miracles with his power. And this truth will remain amongst God's people there where the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is present, and now it is here. Brothers and sisters, believe in this way. Trust in this. Keep a hold of Christ and his righteousness that in him is offered to us. This is what the gospel offers to you freely in Jesus' name and blood. You can be with a secure mind. You can be free and rejoice and enjoy of this gift of the peace of God, of a secure mind, of a thankful mind, and so live as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.